Hello, you're listening to People, Pets, and Vets with Dr. Brad Miller and registered veterinary technician Angel Martin.
Hello, everyone.
Each week, we bring you current events and news in the veterinary industry and share our thoughts and perspective on how they impact us in our animal hospital. We also try to give you an inside and behind-the-scenes glance at our clinic and the people in it. This special Easter episode number 104 is being brought to you once again by Georgia Veterinary Associates, a family of animal hospitals caring for your family pet. What's the weather like today?
It's beautiful.
The weather rock is a little bit yellow-green in color. It has pollen all over it.
Still very pollenish everywhere around, but it's beautiful. The sun is out.
We had a cold spell the last couple of days. It actually got down to freezing during the evenings.
And yesterday was pretty cold.
Yeah. Warmed up a little bit in the afternoons. But a little chilly this morning, 45-ish, I think.
Mm-hmm. It's about nice, 10 o'clock. 70. It was, I didn't even notice a cloud in the sky this afternoon.
Beautiful. One of the reasons that we live in the area that we live in. So,
Of course.
How was your Easter thus far?
It's great. For those that participate, the Easter Bunny came and visited. Not to spoil it, but my mom and dad surprised me with a nice little basket. Actually, the day before Easter, because I'm an adult now, I guess. it was very slowish, I guess. We had a nice brunch, my family and I.
Nice.
And then here we are.
Okay.
What about you guys?
Low key. Yeah, low key. Just spent some time together. My challenge yesterday was to try to find Miss Hannah, my daughter, an Easter bunny that was not made in a facility that processes nuts or peanuts. Mm. There used to be one that you could break. It was kind of a flat chocolate bunny, and it was scored to where you could break like the ears off and, mm-hmm. The front paws and the bottom. That was the only Easter bunny that we had found historically that didn't potentially have traces of nuts. That does not exist this year.
So with the internet, it's not easy just to go online and find
This was yesterday at 11 o'clock in the morning.
Well, clearly you guys didn't plan for this, but what I'm saying is isn't there, there's got to be facilities where it's
Well, it used to be, but I'm assuming the cells of this particular bunny were not strong enough for it to be produced. You're going to look it up while we're talking.
I'm just saying.
But I did find a Hershey's chocolate cross. And it is not a bunny. It was not a bunny. She did not appreciate it as much, but it was chocolate, and it was not processed in a facility on equipment that had potential nut contamination. So if anybody's ever been around someone or know someone with a peanut allergy, those can be extremely severe. We didn't know when she was little bitty. She had some, I think a little bit of an eczema skin rash, and the doctor prescribed a peanut oil based cream, and we put that on her, and it looked like you had set her skin afire. So anyway, long story short, those are pretty severe reactions, and we had to be very careful.
Yeah, that sounds pretty scary. Enjoy Life is apparently one of those products, by the way. Enjoy Life is a vegan chocolate, or it's whatever, but it's apparently allergy free. Granted, I don't know that they make chocolate bunnies.
Yeah.
But if you guys ever wanted to get into the whole chocolate making, they have these molds at Michael's or Joann Fabrics or any of these places. You could just melt the chocolate and mold your own bunny.
Yeah, Hershey's chocolate bars are safe for her to eat.
Yeah, so again, you could just melt it and put it in the mold and then pop it back out.
So evidently, peanut allergies are a topic of discussion today, but the last interesting fact is if you or someone you're traveling with has a severe peanut allergy, you can alert at least Delta Airlines, and they will not serve peanuts to anyone on the plane out of respect for that allergy.
Yeah, I have heard that as well.
So that's pretty cool. We used to do that. We haven't done it lately. I guess, quite honestly, we haven't traveled lately. But that's a pretty neat thing that they do. So, we have a lot of news stories, I think, to talk about today.
We have some things, yeah.
But healthy pet, happy life. I think we need to focus this next month on what we're going to call preventions or preventatives.
Okay.
So, we recommend and prescribe mainly heartworm, preventions that also take care of intestinal parasites. Mm-hmm. And then the other class is going to be F/T, which stands for flea tick.
Correct. And we've talked about this before, but it definitely, it never gets old. And as we've talked about with all the new puppies coming out in the world, and kittens as well.
So you had thought about talking about maybe tick prevention and, you know, preventing Lyme disease, which, so if we can prevent tick bites or kill them before they transmit disease, we can prevent some of these tick-borne illnesses. And then also we have the flea, the adulticide flea component in NexGard, which is the product that we recommend.
Correct.
Right. So let's take a step back. Way back when I got into veterinary medicine as a veterinarian, our best bullets, I'm going to say, against flea infestations were flea spray, flea baths, and flea control for the environment. Do you remember which
dips?
Company? You, and flea dips. Yep.
Is that what you mean by a flea bath? Because I remember getting
shampoo.
My dog flea dipped.
Well, shampoo.
Okay.
And so the problem is you would shampoo, you'd kill the fleas. There was no residual unless you did a flea dip. But then you put the pet right back in the environment, which is where all the fleas are.
Sure.
So it took me...
And the dog stinks.
I was probably 12 years out of vet school before I really understood the flea cycle, life cycle. And so we feel very strongly in our practices that you need to have your pet on year-round flea control, and ideally we need to have them on we tend to say it's a birth control for fleas. It's not really that, but it prevents flea eggs from hatching out.
Yeah, so it basically makes them deform so that they can't
grow
a little chitin
little,
tooth.
Yeah, a little tooth to open up their
egg.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So it does.
But to your point, that's a little bit more of a complex conversation. So we just call it birth control when we talk to owners about it.
So on our heartworm side, we recommend Sentinel Spectrum because we get heartworm prevention. We get this quote-unquote birth control for fleas,
mm-hmm.
and then we take care of all of the other major intestinal parasites.
So being roundworm, whipworm, hookworm, tapeworm.
And tapeworm. So there's really no worm we haven't covered with that particular product. We also recommend an adulticide in NexGard for fleas, and we also get the tick control like we just mentioned. And that's because your pet can go to a dog park, to a park, to a hiking trail, and can pick up fleas and or ticks, and they're going to be uncomfortable with those ticks until you kill the ticks on them. So that's why we like the adulticide, but we really like the background effect of the birth control for fleas going on at all times, because if for some reason you don't have your pet on an adult flea product, adulticide, adult killing flea product, and they do pick up fleas, as long as they are on Sentinel Spectrum, you will never get a flea infestation. That one adult flea will cause harm and injury to your pet as an irritant on the skin, but it will not be able to reproduce. So, I tried to not go into too much detail, but is that a fair summary?
I think so, yeah.
Okay, so that's the recommendation. I thought maybe we could draw it out over the next 4 weeks, but I think I just kind of spilled the beans on everything there.
Well, if that's the case, we can talk a little bit more in depth about Lyme. And again, one of the reasons why we recommend the products that we recommend in future episodes.
Yeah, let's talk about tick-borne diseases.
Okay.
Let's talk about maybe the quote-unquote disease or problem flea bites can cause.
Okay.
So we'll touch on flea bite dermatitis and flea allergy.
Okay.
So that'll be good topics for the next few episodes. In the news, so I'm going to bring up the fact that the Major League Baseball All-Star Game has been removed from Atlanta, Georgia.
So I saw that as well, but I didn't really ask Lance why. What was there controversy? Or
it's because of the recently passed new voter registration laws in Georgia.
So
are you familiar?
No, not at all. But so they pulled the MLB game?
Yeah.
That makes no sense.
So, and this is the dumbed-down version because it's my version, and really I haven't read all that much about it. I've just been listening to the news and reading a little bit. They, being Georgia legislature, maybe within 7 to 14 days ago, passed a new voter registration law. They were looking to reform the voting process in Georgia because of all the problems, whether they were real or not, that we had this past election and the one before that, the gubernatorial election before that. And so, in order for voters to be considered registered or for, to register and be considered citizens, in order to do that, in Georgia, the law was passed that they require you have a driver's license in order to be able to register to vote. I'm going to throw in there or an official ID through like the DMV, I think, can issue you
So I just don't
an
understand like how
identification
that
card.
crosses like into MLB or Major League Baseball. And so
So,
obviously
okay.
there's bigger politics behind all of this, which I totally don't understand.
So immediately, I think this is awesome that you said that. I didn't think a whole lot of it. I thought, well, great, that's going to keep people who aren't supposed to vote or from double voting. It's going to kind of streamline the process. Oh, no. Nationally, Georgia is getting hammered because now we're suppressing the vote.
Well, apparently there's a MLB came out, Manfred said in a statement that Major League Baseball fundamentally supports voting rights for all Americans and opposes restrictions to the ballot box. I don't know. Again, so the fact
I
that
totally disagree.
sports and politics interject is so weird to me.
Well, so President Biden came out immediately and said how wrong this law was and how it's going to be challenged, it needs to be challenged in the Supreme Court. This is voter suppression. Stacey Abrams, who's a big part of this equation, she lost to Brian Kemp in the gubernatorial race last time, and she has been a huge proponent for voters' rights. And she has actually gone out and registered, I think the statistic this past election was over 800,000 voters. She educated them, got them registered so they could vote properly and appropriately. So
So I have nothing wrong with that.
that's great.
But
And
I also don't understand necessarily, like, if you can't provide identification on who you are, why
that
you
you
should
should
be
be
able to
allowed to
vote.
vote and then go into another county and potentially vote and go to another county and vote and vote and vote. So
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense, and that doesn't make any sense in why we would get so much ridicule for it as
it
well,
doesn't.
unless there's more to it that I'm
No,
too naive to
that's
see.
it. People are just crying wolf and saying, "Oh, how dare you restrict the people that don't have a driver's license to vote?" Well, there's other ways they can register to vote. So bottom line is, instead of Atlanta keeping the All-Star game and maybe using that as a platform to have discussions and educate citizens across the U.S. and maybe have some athletes give their opinion, they just decide to pull the game. Like, and they being nationwide, people have threatened to boycott Coca-Cola, Delta Airlines, Home Depot, any company based in Georgia because of the legislature passing this law.
That's so crazy to
Ridiculous.
me. Yeah,
It's
that's crazy.
ridiculous. And so it was kind of cool. I think Stacey Abrams actually came out and was, I don't know if she's after the fact said she was disappointed because now we can't discuss this. Major League Baseball has made it completely a negative and they've just shunned Atlanta for this, and now it's not a topic of discussion necessarily. So, yesterday in the
I
Final
just don't
Four,
agree with people using their fame and like organizations like this using their fame to create
there
biases
are
in
other
one way or the
states that
other.
have far more restrictive voting laws than Georgia, and you don't ever hear about it because the politicians and the media and sports they've not picked up instant information, right? There's
Yeah.
too much going on. But interestingly enough, and then we'll move on, Charles Barkley, before or during maybe between games yesterday at the Final Four, he had a little segment where he came out and he basically said, "I think most white people and most black people are really good people, and I don't understand why we are I guess pitted against each other by the politicians." So he really kind of he didn't really rant and rave, but his strong opinion was they are trying to keep the power and the money, and they're just trying to keep
Of course, keeping the war at,
social
yeah.
unrest going so that they look important and they have something to do. So I thought that was pretty cool of Charles Barkley to kind of give that opinion.
Sure.
So anyway, I would tend to agree with him. So all right, let's maybe talk about something. Well, I mean, let's stick with politics. I was going to say something a little less controversial or
Well, this story's not, it's politics, but it's not really politics, right? So we talked on our podcast a few weeks ago or earlier in this month or earlier in March that Major Biden
Major Biden.
had bit someone at the White House. Well, here we are once again. It has happened. So apparently, there was a National Park Service employee on the White House lawn this past Monday, and while Mr. Major was out on a walk with a White House official or White House press person, or staff person, he bit someone that required medical attention.
So shocker.
I do feel like they're somewhat making it. They're kind of scuffing it under the rug, right? Like, oh, Major just needs to get used to his surroundings. Oh, the injury wasn't that bad, but due to policy, you know, we had to make sure that he got medical attention. But really, and I don't want to bash German Shepherds, but any large breed dog, any dog with history like German Shepherds or Pit Bulls or whatever, status quo, if you will, they need to have special attention, right? And so to bring a dog, a rescue dog like this, which they rescued him, I guess,
2018.
Yeah. So he's 3 years old now. It just kind of sounds like an ignorant mix, right? And I used that word ignorant before because we've talked about it here on the podcast, and it just means that you just don't know any better.
So we see a fair number of German Shepherds or Malinois in the practice, and this is what we see. They are awesome dogs with their owners, typically.
They're typically
selective,
they're
super
yeah.
protective. Mm-hmm. They are very smart dogs.
Of
you know,
course.
they are used as working dogs, are used as police dogs, drug dogs, guard dogs, if you will. They're extremely smart, but they're extremely high strung. And my opinion is they have to visually see you at all times, otherwise they don't trust you and they start getting amped up.
Sure.
And so when you take a dog like this, a working dog like this, to your point, rescued, so we don't know what the socialization was growing up.
Sure.
And you put them in at the White House with a lot of strange people, whether they're on a leash or not, walking by, they are going to be geared up and amped up. And if someone makes a sudden movement towards them or startles them, being the dog, mm-hmm. they're probably going to have a little bit of more of a fear bite. It's not an aggressive bite, but more of a fear bite. And that's very normal. So this story reads, you know, the episode before, the two dogs were moved to the Biden's residence.
The Delaware home, yeah.
And so I'm kind of surprised they're back.
Yeah, the story doesn't say like if they went back went to Delaware and came back, and then it says that they maybe
it says
went
Major
again.
Had 2 weeks of training, and then they take him back to the White House. 2 weeks of training is not going to make Major a different dog.
Yeah, but also, could you imagine just the stress of being a human being moving to the White House, not to mention being a dog?
Yeah.
And we've talked about this, right? Like our last episode when we talked about anxiety, historically when we've talked about anxiety, like to be a good pet parent, you need to recognize these things in your pet. And if you can't change the living situation,
maybe
you can't change the dog.
Pet,
yeah, if you can't change the dog, then try to change the living situation. So this dog probably doesn't belong at the White House.
At this point. Yeah.
Maybe
with training, whether it's a trainer or a veterinary behaviorist, maybe with the help
of a primary caretaker, someone who's, you know, constant and like attached to the dog.
We have many dogs with anxiety disorders that are on fluoxetine, which is Prozac, mm-hmm. to kind of help let them calm themselves or help calm along with the behavior modification.
Do you know who the White House veterinarian is?
I don't. I'd be willing to be the White House veterinarian.
I don't know if there is one.
I don't know. Probably there's not. Probably it's the family, you know, the Biden family veterinarian back home.
Yeah, maybe in Delaware.
But that would be cool. Yeah, that'd be cool if you had the title of White House veterinarian.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, there's got to be some. Like, they should start leaning on professionals at this point, right? With the dog, and again, they are saying that these two incidents have been minor, but it is...
But they could be major.
Yeah, in due time. Yeah, or with enough neglect. So anyways, we hope that Major can find a nice, comfortable...
Yeah,
I guess,
hopefully
living arrangement
continues.
At the White House, or maybe the Biden family will realize that he probably just needs to stay back home in Delaware.
Yeah, might be. So... it was just a matter of time before I expected this next story to come out, and here it is. Trapped in gloves, tangled in mask, COVID PPE killing animals, report finds.
Did you know that the CDC does not consider a mask to be personal protective equipment? I read that actually today. A mask is not considered PPE.
Because it's not a respirator?
Is that why? Because it's not protecting you, it's protecting others.
Yeah. So it would be need to be more of a respirator to be a PPE.
Mm-hmm.
So goggles are for splash.
Goggles, yeah.
Ear protection.
Ear protection, gloves, those face shields, I guess, technically are considered PPE.
Aprons, if you're working with caustic chemicals.
Gowns.
You know, I'm just thinking of things that we use in the hospital and when we say wear your PPE when you're doing a dental procedure or working with certain chemicals. So,
yep.
So anyway, you know, the story reads that a fish was trapped in the finger of a rubber glove, and then a penguin in Brazil had a mask in its stomach, and a fox got entangled in the UK with a mask. And so very similar to the six-pack holders with fish
turtles.
And wildlife along beaches, the straws.
Yeah.
Other refuge, I guess, that is...
The thing is that it reads that it's litter, right? That people are just like going around and throwing these things out. But even if you dispose of them properly, there's potential, right? Like we have these garbage barges that go out into the ocean.
Yeah,
right?
Something could fall off. Or yeah. How is it getting in there? And so that's kind of where my mind went is anything can be very dangerous if it becomes litter.
Of course.
Right? I mean...
Cigarette butts for birds,
yes.
Making their nest. I mean, it's all
there's
these
a
things.
Lot of stuff out there for sure, right? I mean, these plastics impregnated with fill in the blank that go into the bald eagle's nest. The hand, you know, I mean, you can go as far as to say weapons, you know, that automatically get discharged. That's going a little far fetched, but
sure. No, but we've talked about it. But like, truly, I think the article reads in like even the straws back with the sea turtles that were, you know, the straws are killing all the sea turtles. The instant that people think of is that, oh, you can't use a straw because then it's going to end up in, mm-hmm. in the ocean. But really, how does it end up there?
Yeah.
Is it because you threw it away in the garbage here in Lawrenceville at the QT, or is it because you threw it out the window?
Totally agree. That doesn't mean you can't use these products. It means we need to be better stewards in the world and take care of our garbage
sure,
and debris.
Sure.
So, fun fact.
Okay.
We, as you're drinking your Starbucks, nitro cold brew, it looks like. So,
yes,
Starbucks...
Sir.
Went from the snap-on lids with a hole in the center for a straw
mm-hmm.
to they now have two types of sippy cups. They have a wide triangular mouth
I cup call it a nitro lid.
That, yeah, it really lets you drink that nitro the way it should be. Drunk.
Froth and the coffee at the same time.
Yeah.
It's like amazing.
And then they have very similar but different, more of a sippy cup.
Yes.
That they will put on, in my case, a water. Almost every morning I go get a grande nitro cold brew with sweet cream and a venti ice water.
So if we're telling on you, do these people at the Starbucks, do they know your name?
They do. They do. Or they at least know when I give my name and with my accent, they know what I'm going to order.
That's so funny.
There's two that I bounce back and forth between.
So you're a regular.
On, yeah. I used to laugh at people that like my wife would pull up and they're like, oh, hey, Miss Mary. And I'm like,
gosh.
Oh, my gosh. So anyway, so my opinion is they went to these sippy cup lids in order to eliminate straws. And I think you and I have talked about
this,
right? Is that's like the reason to do it.
That was my understanding as well.
And so every single time I get my venti ice water with the sippy cup lid, I get offered a straw.
So you should
and usually I get offered, when I say offered, it's usually handed to me.
With it.
And I have to say, no, I don't need one. And they're like, oh, okay.
Yeah. So the Starbucks by my house, it's relatively new. I would say it's maybe a year and a half old now. It opened right before COVID, and then they've struggled with closing for a week or 2 weeks at a time with COVID sickness and that kind of thing. But same thing, whenever I go through there, even with this whole wide mouth nitro lid, it's the same lady at the window, right? But she hands a straw. So my glove box is full of
Starbucks straws. Yeah, it's crazy.
So it is very interesting.
So the whole point of this story from me, I'm not necessarily making fun of Starbucks because I think they're a good company. I think their employees are really good people. They seem to have a good time. But understand your why in this world.
Of course.
Why did we move to this lid? And the reason is because we're trying to reduce the number of straws. plastic straws, and yet now we're getting offered that. So
yeah,
I don't think they understand. They missed the memo, I think.
I feel like we've talked about this before, but like pre-COVID, do you remember? So that's when, so the whole straw aspect came pre-COVID, and then it was...
From plastic straws to paper straws to stainless steel
to because no straws. We were trying to eliminate this whole single-use everything. Well, then COVID strikes, and suddenly everything is single use.
Ketchup packs.
Even when you go into a sit down restaurant where they used to serve you off of stainless steel, they're now serving you with, you know, single use plastic silverware, plasticware, and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So it's like we've literally done an entire 360.
Yep. It's weird.
It is so weird. But yet now we're going to start getting this whole like beat back up, like, oh, the public is just, you know,
what will the balance
turmoil be?
And there will be a balance, right? Discussing the other day with Dr. Wanchick, my business partner, you know, when are we going to open back up? Are we always going to have to wear masks and always going to have to do what we do? And, you know, the answer is we think, no, we will get back to quote unquote normal at some point. But my prediction is kind of like after 9/11, the airline industry was really under lockdown for a while. And then now there still are certain restrictions.
Think of it like TSA, right? Yeah. Like you still go through a security checkpoint before you get on an airplane, and it's probably going to be the same thing.
Yeah, there's going to be something, whether it's vaccine cards or titers. I don't know what it's going to be, but I do know that it seems like with spring break happening now, the world's kind of starting, well, the United States is kind of starting to open back up, and more crowds are showing up at spots.
So that being said, like this is Easter right here for us, and it actually coincides with spring break week for our public schools in this area.
Right.
And we are busier now than we were any other time throughout the last year for boarding.
Yeah.
Right. So
back
any
to
other
there.
Holiday, Christmas, Thanksgiving, 4th of July, the winter break that the kids have in like October, all these things that we used to be busy, we were at like a third capacity then. And now we're basically back to normal capacity in our boarding facility, which means that people are obviously
vacationing,
they're leaving their pets behind.
And then industry wide, leaving their pets behind.
Well, obviously care. Boarding. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and then our industry just continues with the onslaught of new pets and maybe pets meaning a little bit more to people than they did in the past. I don't know if that's fair to say or not, but
so I'm hopeful that it's a good thing.
We're just, yeah, I mean, we
Fauci feels like, I read something from him the other day that we're about to hit like this massive wave of COVID, but I did also read that here in Georgia we're about a third of the population vaccinated, at least with the first vaccine. So hopefully some herd health will kind of play here and we'll be just fine.
Real quick, shout out to Elevate Sciences. They are a relatively new company, at least to me, that they're basically putting out, manufacturing some CBD products for pets.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked with at least one of their reps in the past. They are launching a new 501c3 organization to try to provide free veterinary care for homeless and street pets in the U.S. And so I don't know how they're going to do that, but kudos to them for at least making this effort. And hopefully that will be a program that will be sustainable and
it
very helpful.
It says that they're
going
to access like the most vulnerable communities. And so
I'm thinking downtowns with a pretty large homeless population.
Downtowns, California, honestly, like Skid Row, where just there's just, you know, you.
One thing I've always
homelessness is
noticed, anytime
a very
I've seen a pet attached to a homeless person, the pet always looks very healthy, and I don't understand why.
Well, they're pretty stoic, right? I mean, they're pretty hard. Like, dogs and cats historically are pretty hardy animals, right? Like, we try to take care of them through veterinary medicine to extend their life. So I would imagine the same thing with homeless people. They're probably living their life, but it's a shorter lifespan than had they had medical and, you know, health care.
Yeah. Can you imagine the bond if you're homeless, the bond you would have with your pet? I would think, I mean, you talk about the human animal bond.
Sure.
That's got to be super strong and very, very much like what's going on during this pandemic.
Of course.
It's really, really strengthened. So
basically, your only companion. Yeah.
Yeah. I just thought that was interesting and kind of kind of makes me, I guess, reflect and think about those that are less fortunate than many of us.
So speaking of bonds with pets, so one of the articles that I pulled was basically like a day or two ago, there was a guy in the UK who was browsing online real estate listings because his neighbor had just put his house up. And so he went on, I'm assuming it's kind of like our Zillow, but it's called Zoopla. And he was browsing through the pictures, and in one of the pictures he saw his cat laying on this other person's bed. And so he instantly kind of struck like with a Twitter response, and he says, "That's our bloody cat," on the picture. So I thought that was really funny. The article is kind of
All over the place.
Confusing and a little bit. Yeah. So they're basically still under really strict COVID restrictions, but apparently there's no lockdown for pets.
Yeah. So that was,
But then it also goes into this whole like, and this is from the guy who made the Twitter comment, and I believe his name is Hubank. Is the last name Hubank?
Michael Hubank.
Yeah. So he had said that on Twitter he had like 380 some odd thousand responses, and many of them were from the United States. And he says that he learned that a lot of people keep indoor cats in the U.S.
Right. That's the phrasing. I learned a lot of people. Not like almost everybody.
Yeah.
Because in the UK, they roam free.
Apparently. So like the fact that it's his cat, but we would call that a stray cat, right? That you're feeding.
Yeah.
Which,
or his outdoor cat. Yeah. And it could be his cat that's not stray, but.
But I'm just saying like, if someone brought in this cat and they're like, oh, this is just a neighborhood cat, you know, I leave food out for it, they would essentially call it a stray cat. We get that all the time here.
Yeah.
Whereas
my stray
in the
cat
UK,
of 8 years. That
Yeah. Whereas in the UK, it seems like, you know, pretty much everyone's cat lives outside, except for if it goes to your neighbor's house, apparently.
Okay. Your last story was about a monkey.
Capuchin monkey.
Capuchin monkey in Owen County, Kentucky.
So if you have elderly people in your family, right, sometimes they say the darndest things. Well, apparently there was a granddaughter of a man who, this article doesn't say it, but I read it somewhere else. He was like 75 years old, and she was sitting at home with him, and she calls, and he calls and says, there's a monkey on my porch. So the granddaughter and the family just kind of laugh and they shrug it off. And then they actually notice that there is a legit capuchin monkey on their front porch. So I think it's kind of interesting. It says that the family kind of took the monkey inside and made friends with it, and then eventually handed it over to officers of the Kentucky Fish and Wildlife Rescue.
If it's that friendly, I wonder if it was somebody's pet.
So it must have been, but you know, I grew up not really with a monkey, but my mom had a friend who had a monkey. And he was very, it's kind of like a German Shepherd. He was very nice with the owner, but like you could never trust him with someone that he didn't spend every single day with.
Yeah.
His name was Nigel. And oftentimes, you know, my mom's friend Darlene would warn like, oh, don't put your fingers in. Nigel will like literally bite it off.
Gosh. I used to think I wanted a monkey as a pet. There was some show on, it was similar to I Love Lucy, or it was kind of in that era, that I would watch, and they had a monkey.
Mm.
Or actually it was chimpanzees, I think. I don't think it was a little, this is the little,
Tambourine smashing.
Yeah, tambourine monkey. So this was like chimps, and I thought, oh, that'd be cool. But yeah, the older I got and learned about what they do and how mean they can be, and the diseases they can potentially carry, hepatitis.
Yeah. Well, you should get them vaccinated,
right? I
don't
want a monkey
but
anymore.
But in Kentucky, it's apparently illegal to keep a pet monkey. I did not look in the state of Georgia, but like I said, my mom's friend here in Georgia had a pet monkey. He actually died in like his 30s. So as you were talking about, like, yeah, it seems really cool until they outlive you.
Like a parrot. Yeah.
Or you have to basically change their diapers, and like you never get out of that infant stage for the entire 30 years. So it's a lot to take on.
Absolutely. So the last thing I had, I was just going to plug a little event coming up on Friday, April the 9th. Genius Vets, who they help us with our social media and website and a little bit of marketing. They have been pushing out podcasts for the last, I guess, webcasts for the last couple of months about the future of independent veterinary practice. I actually had my webinar go out last week where I was interviewed by David Hall.
Wow, are you like webinar famous?
I don't think so, man. I I was nervous. I was nervous, so I don't know. Hopefully, I did okay. But they are doing a kind of a compilation of industry leaders and practice owners on Friday, April the 9th. And it's going to be kind of an all-day event to where they're compiling all of the information together, right? They're going to
Yeah,
talk about a
sure.
topic and then pull in,
They did individual webinars from everybody,
four or
and now they're
five,
just going to cut
opinions.
clips. Yeah.
So if you're interested in that, if you're in the veterinary field, you would go to geniusvets.com and you should be able to find it on their website. Or you can go to geniusvets.com/webinar/future-of-veterinary-practices.
I would bet if you just Google like Genius Vets webcast or something like that, it would probably pop up.
But they're talking about a lot of stuff, the growing trends of consolidation, how to maximize the value of your practice, the different types of consolidators, data aggregation, staffing problems, staffing solutions, what's been going on during COVID. So, again, if you're in the veterinary industry as a student or a practicing veterinarian, that would be a great, use of your time on Friday, April 9th.
Cool. Well, guys, that's it for this Easter edition of People, Pets, and Vets. Check in next week as we discuss more in the news and in our industry. Follow us on Instagram at People, Pets, and Vets. Follow all of our clinics on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and check out our blogs on our website at mygavet.com. Also, under resources, you can listen to our podcast online, but if you're not doing that, please hit subscribe wherever you're listening to this podcast. And remember, without people, pets are simply animals.
Bye, guys.